This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
At left wing, number 32, Rob Gray.
Ryan Dolby Archon away at each other. Here they go. Oh, what a thundering right hand. Gray and Dolby have said, let's get it on. Gray and Vial are toe to toe. Oh, he just corked it with a wild right. Gray with the uppercut right.
They score.
Ray with a vicious uppercut, rematch again. Bring on Tyson. Here's Ray and Bonvy.
Here they go again.
How many times have they done this? Ray applies the coup de grace. Rob Ray with a right, and it's over.
It's Razors night here at KeyBank Center as he goes into the Sabres Hall of Fame. Great to have you with us as we get set for a game tonight, but it's what happens before the game that is definitely the highlight on everybody's card. Brad May has joined the fray.
Yes.
As we are glad to be along for Sabres Live on this day. Macy, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Brian, Marty, thank you for
Matty,
having me.
You've never
thank
played you. For the Nashville Predators, right?
No. I played for every other team, but not
you
that.
But you walked in this morning, and it's like you're an alumni. You know everybody. You know the dads. You know the organization. You know everybody in Nashville.
Well, I'm the same age as all the dads, number one. And of course,
Mr. Shen was like quick to point out that he's been on the dad's trip when you were playing years ago.
Big time. I actually moved in with his son when I became a Toronto Maple Leaf. I moved in with Luke, who was 18 years old at the time.
And wow.
His dad just told me they were talking about, mentors or guys that actually made an impact in their careers or lives. And had a nice thing to say. I love Luke, and we had a lot of fun together.
Did you buy a ticket for tonight, or did Razor actually invite you?
I got invited. So,
okay.
And by the way, I wouldn't come if I had to buy a ticket, Brian. But it's actually nice being an alumnus of the Buffalo Sabres. It's always nice coming back.
Awesome.
Now, okay, so we saw the intro video on MSG, Razor, lots of fighting. When you came to Buffalo, Razor was already established here with the Sabres,
yes.
Right? Did you ever sparred in practice trying to see, like, hey, how do I measure up to a guy like Rob Ray, even if it's just for fun in practice?
No, it wasn't even for fun.
Oh.
Like, this was for real. It was my first ever scrimmage in training camp, day one of – I didn't make my first training camp because I tore ligaments in my knee.
Okay.
So I was sent back to junior, but my following – training camp, the first one I ever went to, I think Rob and I were in a fight, like a full-on, punch in the face contest.
Oh.
Probably about 15 minutes into my first scrimmage, and did that on purpose. But Rob was also a guy that, he knew what was coming, and he was trying to establish, hey, listen, I'm the sheriff in town. And
yeah.
For me, it was amazing because I was able to stand up to Rob. It was a great fight, but at the end of the fight, and it was whether he won or I won or lost, it doesn't matter. But I cut him a little bit. So the thing is,
if nobody cut Razor.
No, but if you cut a player, whether you win the fight or not, everybody thinks that you win.
Yeah.
So holy smokes, I cut Rob. And the worst part for Rob, and I only say this, but I mean the guy was a beast, right? One of the toughest of all time, and but fighting him there, he had to go to the hospital. There was no doctors at Saberland at the time, 1991. So we had to go sit in the emergency room at the hospital for a few hours, and that was the worst for him. He was so sour, and I got to go home to the what was it, the Niagara Falls Holiday Inn where they put us up.
The corner there.
I went back to my little room and I felt so good. I was like, my God, what an entrance!
Everybody's walking by Razor at the emergency room saying, "Who did that to you? Like but, that guy's tough."
But
like,
but his hands were more cut up than his lip. But
yeah, he hit the helmet. That's why he hit the helmet.
And wow. It was a big helmet.
Yeah, well, both you guys. So.
Speaking of, I didn't want to segue to that, but did you see Rasmus Anderson and Tom Wilson the other night?
Loved it. It was hilarious.
I could only think of you and Razor and
well,
the ongoing conversations of who had the bigger head. And
it's come on, who's got the bigger head? Of
it's
course
Rob.
It's Rob.
It's Rob.
Of course it's Rob. Although, everybody, the reason why I'm sitting about a half a head behind you guys is so my head's normal size.
I let Marty in on this secret a while ago, and I've been very uncomfortable since you sat down. I'm like, normally I'm way further back. But yeah, honestly, the number of times when we traveled and you and Razor would inevitably get back into the discussion of size of your head, and then seeing Rasmus Anderson and Tom Wilson the other night and the shenanigans and the mocking and everything, I was just like, wow, this is right up your alley. You would have led the orange on the toothpick and all that, right? So, yeah, it was pretty great.
Pants, no. What a movie. What a movie.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned, like, Razor got you your tickets for tonight. I remember when I first got called up, like, we'd go to lunch and everybody would always say, Razor's not buying lunch, kid. Like, you gotta, buy lunch or whatever. And then the one time Razor put his credit card down and we were all surprised. I didn't say anything, but everybody was like, oh, Razor's buying? Like, what is going on? Did he ever buy you lunch or dinner on the road? Because he was that guy that always tested everybody to see what was going on.
Well, first of all, how could Rob buy lunch when he only had three or four crumpled up $1 bills in his pocket?
Yeah, well.
And he would always go into his pocket and he would lay down the three or four bills. They're in piles. And he would lay them on the table. He's like, come on, can you get my lunch today? And he did that. He did that throughout his career.
And then he picked up same three bills, put them back in his pocket.
I love it. Goodness. I love it. Although, you know what? Tonight's such a celebration.
Yes.
Right now it's a roast. So yeah. let's get the roast out of the way. Rob, it was fun. To be truthful, I don't remember Rob ever buying anything.
Yeah. Well,
his second life in the game as a broadcaster, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? Julianne is
she changed
a yeoman's work. What yes. what a champ.
Yes, she changed him. I remember, like, Rob used to drive around in his Ford Taurus, right? He had the Taurus, I think.
Yes, he did.
And he changed it and got another one, and it looked worse than the first one, but he was always driving his Taurus and used to always tell the guys, well, you know what? I'm saving my money. I'm saving my money. Well, yeah, he was the smart one and
ended up doing
a lot of good things and just got to drive down to Ellicottville to see the nice little palace he built over there. That's what happens.
I'd like to drop a different word, but Robbie with his cars, he saved a lot of money, but he looked like crap.
Yes.
Doing it. This guy.
Something you were never willing to do.
But I'll tell you what a fun guy. And he's an enigma, right?
Yeah.
Like, but he's such a wonderful teammate and great friend, and couldn't be more proud for him and his honor tonight.
Some of the guys that are in town to celebrate Razor, like, are some of the guys that we don't see often. Like, I remember, like, Kenny Sutton is going to be here, right? And it's like, hey, this is a guy that broke into the league kind of at the same time. And what do you think of everybody being here to celebrate Razor just because he pushed a lot of guys to the limit, but he did that as a good teammate because he wanted to test you.
Yeah, I think so, Marty. I had dinner last night with Kenny Sutton and his wife Danielle, and I haven't seen Kenny actually going through Calgary where he lives. I've seen him a few times over the last 20 years, but it's really nice to see him. I understand Donald Odette might be here tonight. Gord Donnelly's coming. Mm-hmm. Of course, Matthew Barnaby, we all know Matt. But it's going to be really nice to see old faces. I haven't seen Gord Donnelly. It's amazing. My rookie year, those are all the players. Gordy got traded a couple games into my first year. And Gordy, Rob, Kenny Sutton, Donald Odette, we are rookies. We had a rookie party, and there was five of us, Kevin Haller, Donald Odette, Kenny Sutton, Brad Miller, and myself were the rookies that year. And Rob was already established. He was our big brother, and he got us in more trouble than anyone else. But he was a guy that we followed, and Rob was a man about town, and we had a ton of fun.
Do you remember what that rookie dinner was?
You know, I do, and I know the price. And it was amazing. We had a night. We were on the West Coast. We had ours in San Francisco.
Oh, nice! But
it was 2 days before we played in the Cow Palace, and the guys had a big night that after wherever we were that night. Anyways, our rookie dinner was very inexpensive, especially when you had to divide it five ways. And my God, that was a blessing for me, and certainly for the other guys. The rookie parties get out of hand a little bit. Our teammates, they were so tired. They didn't want to get into anything more than just eating and let's get back to the hotel. So it was a fun time. Better that it cost us less money.
How many of you fought at the Cow Palace the next night?
Well, you know what? With Gordy, Robbie, and I have to imagine.
And the Sharks, the way they were built back then.
I think I fought that Jeff Odgers a couple times.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Doug Zamolak. I can't remember. But there was a few of them. And, of course, Razor. I think they had Neil Wilkinson. I think Link Gates was on that team in San Jose. Craig Cox might have been there. So my memory's not that sharp. I can't remember what happened on that
Don't
game.
Don't worry. Pete Weber's going to join us in the bottom of the bottom of the hour, and he'll fill in all the blanks if we missed any, because Pete remembers all of this.
Petey's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome. What a great opportunity for us to reconnect and talk about someone that you have admired and said such great things about over the course of your time in the game. Is there something you feel like you've not told us about Razor that we should know about Razor? I would assume that's impossible by now, but maybe there's something.
Marty and I being teammates, I think Marty knows all the secrets and the bodies that are buried. And you and I working together with Rob, I'm sure you've heard them, you know, the banter back and forth. But the one thing about Rob, he's obviously grew up north of here, Southern Ontario. He's a lifer here in Buffalo. A fantastic ambassador to the Sabres. Obviously, the philanthropy, being involved in different charities, being a member of the Sabres. I think those nice things I can say about him. There's some stories I can't tell you, but when Rob was a young guy, here's a good one. We had an afternoon game. I think it was against the Boston Bruins. It was mid-90s, and there was goldenpalace.com. I think it was when Riddick Bowe was fighting Evander Holyfield. And do you remember all, like, anyways, all the boxing promotions? Well, on that afternoon, it was maybe the first year Fox actually was doing it with the
glow puck?
The glow puck. and Razor and I, we were trying to figure out, like, okay, we have our salaries, but how can we make a little extra money? And Razor's like, you know what, I'm going to put goldenpalace.com on my back. When he gets in a fight, his jersey comes off, and he's going to actually, you know, have a banner on his back. And he did that. And I can't remember if he got in trouble or not, but he had this painted tattoo on his back, hoping to get
money.
Hoping for them to. Oh my gosh! It got on SportsCenter. Oh. Hey Rob, I'll give you $500. That's, you know, Rob was always looking for those different angles.
What do you think tonight is going to be like for him? Because when he got announced or told that he was going to go into the Sabres Hall of Fame, it was very emotional. It was in between the benches, and we stayed on during the commercial. Instead of going commercial, we stayed on TV, and they put it on the board, right, where it was announced, hey, you're going into the Sabres Hall of Fame. And Dan Dunleavy was trying to get Razor to talk and say, how are you feeling? And he couldn't do it. Like, he was emotional about it. And he doesn't show that often. What do you think that's going to be like for him tonight and the emotions of it all?
Well, I was there. I was in the building that night when it was announced. And I saw that from afar, of course. Rob is a man of few words at times. This means a lot to him. Mm-hmm. And he's not a guy that it's not about Rob. It's about the greater good and everyone else. I think he's incredibly humbled by this. he doesn't really, he won't talk about himself that way at all. I think this is a really special moment for him and his family. He met his wife at the end of his career,
yep,
or maybe when his career just ended. And so his kids didn't see him play. Of course, they've got, you know, hours of highlights of their father. But this is a wonderful moment for the Ray family to be here and celebrate dad. And he's been on TV for their life.
Yeah, but, 15 years.
And all the highlights. But you know what? The love and admiration for Rob, the adoration. I think his family is going to feel that. Last night at our hotel, his in-laws and his nephews were with us, Kenny and I, and we had a lot of great stories and talking about it, but how humbled and proud he is. And he probably will shed a couple tears because it is emotional, and it's cool. It's cool that Buffalo is reciprocated that love and is honoring Rob tonight.
100%. The fans have been great, and probably the reason why Rob is who he is probably because of the support of the fans and the love that he felt throughout the years. You talked about the philanthropy. There used to be a bar, I think it was on North Division here downtown. It's called Razor. I don't think he owned it, but I think the name was Razor. My first training camp, I drove by it. I'm like, this is cool. There's a player with his name on a bar downtown. Like, that means you've made it. Did you guys ever hang out there at Razor's downtown?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, so the old Tunes, which was on Elmwood or Delaware,
okay,
not far from here, 2 miles maybe. I don't know if we're speaking about the same bar at all, but there was a Razor's.
And okay,
after Tunes kind of closed up shop, Robbie had his bar, and that was our place. And visiting teams would show up there after games if they were staying in Buffalo. And there was a lot of great nights, late nights.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is, was it Jim's Steakout or the Hoagie Joint just around the corner? The old 4 a.m. Hoagie. As a professional athlete, young guy, you could burn it off the next day.
Oh, 100%.
Right? But we didn't eat as well as these young players do today.
These are very true statements, Maisie.
and we consumed a lot of Labatt's and Molson's and whatever else. But we had a great time here in Buffalo, and Rob was a big part of that.
One guy that's here tonight is Scotty Metcalf. I remember my first year in Rochester was Scotty's last year with the Amherst. And Scotty enjoyed a late night beverage and hoagie or whatnot, and the next day he'd be on the bike, and he'd be sweating it out, and he'd be rubbing his bicep, and that's a blue light. Yeah. That's the one at 10 o'clock last night. Then he'd go to his left bicep and be like, "That was the Coors Light. Yeah, that was the midnight one." Like, he just, those are the characters of the game, right? And the guys that you grew up with. So Razor was definitely a character of the game, and I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun at his bar.
Mark,
before the hot dog place, it was the bar.
Well, you know what? I got called up from junior before I made the Buffalo Sabres. They went to the Calder Cup final, lost in game 6,
yep,
to Springfield. But I practiced for 6 weeks or whatever in Rochester. Nick Tahoe's was our place we'd end up, and all the players. But Scotty Metcalf, first-round draft pick to the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, he didn't have an illustrious career in the National Hockey League, but a real solid player in Rochester, yeah, a big part of their identity back then. So when I got there, Scotty Metcalf took me under his wing. And, of course, Robbie came down because the Buffalo Sabres had been beat out of the playoffs. And that was my kind of introduction to the NHL, was with Scotty and Rob. And then, again, 4 months later, I'm trying to make the Buffalo Sabres, and there's Rob Ray. You know, let's go. It was actually, you know, and we're friends. I think one thing maybe gets lost. All the guys I fought, I love them all.
Yeah.
I don't hold any grudges, and most of those guys, I think, feel the same way. The fighting is not as violent and as awful as maybe it looks or it's made to look like.
He's a lovable guy.
He's a lovable. Everybody loves Mayday. Come on. Even Andy Moog and Ray Bourque love Mayday, and they
really
got embarrassed.
I've never heard
they got
that.
Embarrassed by him.
I don't know about Andy, but because I actually he was our goalie coach with the Vancouver Canucks when I was there, and Andy, there was always, I scored a few goals against Andy. I had a penalty shot against him. I scored that goal, but I think he wasn't too pleased. But Ray Bourque and I, we've met over the last number of years, and we're buddies, and Ray's a great dude.
Yeah, Ray's awesome. He tells great stories just like you, which is kind of why we have you on and why you're great to be on. Let's just talk about you a little bit, and You know, we were talking about your experience on the Amazing Race Canada and everything that you've done there and your travels. How is life? How are you doing? And how's the family?
Family is amazing. I'm lucky. I've been married for 30 years. My kids are amazing. My son just turned 29, who was born in Buffalo.
There's a lot of people listening and watching right now that are like, stop making us feel old, no. But that's okay.
Hey, listen, we're old. We're old. I used to have brown curly hair, and now it's like wiry and gray. So this is what it is. And my daughter's 25. Life couldn't be better for the Mays. We're a tight-knit family, and I got to steal a month of time with my daughter in a simulated environment on TV. But the coolest part is when they picked us up, they took our cell phones. Mm. We had no access to the media or the internet at all, no cell phone. I didn't talk to Bridget for 32 days or my son. They didn't know where we were, but it was just the two of us. So think of like going on a road trip with our buddies and how much fun we had. I did that with my daughter. I had a great time. Now, she's thinking, she turned 25 at the start of the show when we actually went and did this. Her best friends, she didn't get any message or nothing because we were like disconnected. And about a week after getting away from social media, it was amazing. Yeah. It was like it's like the way we used to live 30 years ago, man. It was actually amazing. It was a great experience. But my daughter's my go-to now. We have just a different level that our relationship went to when we spent this much time together. It was cool. Nice. She impressed me the whole thing. We had a moment though during the show where it was like this power dynamic where like dad knows the best and listen to me and don't talk back. And she put me in my place. And the bottom line is she's very capable. She's a young woman. She's got her own ideas and she's smarter than I am in many things. And I had to go through this exercise to get to the other side, and she's amazing.
Was that part shown?
That was actually during the show, I made a call, and I told her I'm 100%, like, I know what I'm doing. Follow me. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And it was at an airport, and it was a race, and we ran out. I thought there would be a car in Vancouver, which I know well, and we came out of the escalator, and it was a construction zone.
Oh, no.
So there would have been a car there, and we would have been in first place. And all that being said, she lost a lot of faith in me, and she was like, you know what, I'm sick and tired of your bull crap, excuse my language. We had that moment.
Yep.
I stole a month of time with my daughter, Brian. Amazing. We were talking about it. It was extra special.
Were you with her when you both got your phones back?
And yes.
When she turned the phone on,
yes.
Was she then able to realize how many people were reaching out about her birthday?
Yes.
And
which was like 29 days
right.
later, yes. And
that must have been, to me, like that's...
I lost
like
her.
Yeah.
She went into that hole, or so did I. Like, the crazy part is I never wanted to have my phone back ever. Like after this experience, you don't need your phone to navigate. You know, you're more personable. You talk to people. You know, in this thing, you're trying to get places. And but as soon as we got our phones on, it all of a sudden was like you're sucked right back into that world, and you couldn't put it down. Meanwhile, you didn't want to have it.
Yeah.
Of course, we can't live without them. I mean, they're our lifeline, but. It was a great exercise not having it.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of people would get really unique perspective
from
that
story. Well, people also don't understand that sometimes, like, that's how these shows work, right? Because you're trying to produce and get everybody focused on one thing, and you don't want help from the outside, and it's about trying to find your way around Canada for this one.
Yeah, and just everything that you had, like, just imagine, you get picked up in a car, and we don't know where we're going. Now, in this case, we went to a hotel, and it was kind of like a debrief, and you learned the rules, and the show didn't start for a few days, and we thought we were getting picked up, and it was started. You know, you're going to go get mic'd up, and it's on. We had no idea what was next. So I'm sitting with you guys. I don't know if I'm going out these doors or the back door. I don't know where I'm headed, and it was like that for a month. It was cool. And then you'd go like do these challenges, and again, you had to figure it out. There was riddles you had to, and then you in the one case, it was like, who likes a good playlist? What do you guys think when you hear that?
Music.
Music, me too. And I stink with music. So I'm like, Sam, this is yours. Well, it was a football challenge where she had to go to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Stadium. So here in Buffalo, think about going to Highmark. You go there, you had to learn 12 football plays and catch a touchdown pass on the one call that the quarterback calls. And they were professionals.
Have to know what the call is. You have to learn 12 plays, and they pick one of them?
And they pick one of them. It wasn't me. She did. And she did an amazing job. And she caught the ball, and she got a touchdown.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
we were able to keep going. Had I picked that one, which I would have done it for sure. No, not faster than her because she was great. But I would have been able to get through that for sure. At the end of the day, we ended up in Russell, Manitoba on a flight to, and we had to run through, like, it was like a 2 or 3 kilometer run, and we had to get into this town and do some stuff. I ended up having to do a Ukrainian dance, and I had to learn a Ukraine, like, it was about a 2.5 minute, like the choreographed dance, and I couldn't do it. Anyways, that was the end of the Amazing Race for the
Maze. So you would have been good for the football.
I was the worst.
And she would have been good for the dance. You would have been good for the football. But they trick you a little bit.
You don't know. So yeah. like who likes a good playlist? Music. It's got to be you. And it ended up being the dagger that, you know, finished.
Did people
us,
but, recognize you? Because you talk about Vancouver, you guys were also in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Did you walk around town and they're like, hey, Brad, can I get your autograph? You're like, I'm sorry, I'm on a show here. I can't do that.
Well, we're running with a cameraman and an audio guy, and we're running, and there was no stopping. But, yes, some people from across streets were like, hey, you know,
Mayday.
It didn't happen in Niagara Falls because Niagara Falls was in the evening.
Yeah.
And it was down by the falls. It was dark. But Vancouver was really cool. We had one of our favorite days was in Vancouver, coming from the coast on a float plane. It was pretty amazing.
That's cool. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll try to you know, take it to that level and beyond with our broadcast tonight that begins at 6. You know, I like to ask this one word.
Yes.
For Rob Ray.
It's a great question, Brian. One word I'd say, friend. That would be, because he's my friend, he's our friend.
It's kind of not fair because one word is really tough.
It's perfect.
But and it's perfect,
it,
yeah.
As always.
I think friend would be my word, yeah.
Thank you. We'll see you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Love you, Buffalo, and we're going to have fun today.
The legendary Brad May with us here on Sabres Live. It's Razor's night. He goes into the Sabres Hall of Fame. Our coverage begins at 6 on MSG this evening. Pete Weber, Nashville is in town, but Pete has incredible ties to Buffalo, as you know, and Pete's going to join us next here on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It actually means the world to me because here is a guy that on most nights doesn't get rewarded for what he does. But for what he did for all his teammates is something that in the era he played was so important. Because he knew, you know, why and when, he did it for a long time. I mean, you look at his career. Pretty impressive, and he's got a lot of teammates that can just say thanks, Razor. I appreciate what you did.
That's Lindy Ruff setting up tonight's Rob Ray Sabres Hall of Fame induction. Doors open at 5:00. Ceremony begins at 6:05. Pin set commemorating Rob's career, and tonight, first 10,000 in the building receive that. We look forward to seeing you here. Sabres.com/tickets. Our pregame coverage, our pre-ceremony coverage begins at 6 on MSG. Longtime Buffalo broadcaster, Sabres broadcaster in the mid-90s, original voice of the Nashville Predators, tonight's opponent. Yes, there is a game. Pete Weber yes. is with us here. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you
it's
very
great
much,
to see
Shepherd.
You, Pete.
And here's the thing. Yes, you have to have an opponent for these games. It really is necessary. But in the early years of the Predators, we were always the giveaway night.
Really?
Yes, always. We go to St. Louis. You have certain Pepsi bottles or cans. You can get in for a discounted price because the Predators are coming to town. And that, so it's changed a little bit over the time.
Oh, has it ever? Yeah. I tell Marty this all the time. Like, the one thing that I've loved about watching the evolution of the Predators franchise is since 05-06, like top six in the NHL in regular season winning percentage, they have just been so consistently good. The challengers are there. Yes, you're going through it this season.
Right.
But you know what? It's been remarkable. You've been a part of it from the start. And you've also always had the incredible appreciation of every sport that you've been connected with. You are an encyclopedia of everything that has to do
Pressure's
with an
going
event.
On right now.
No, like statistically, storytelling-wise, historical context within the sport. And I think it's amazingly perfect that Nashville is the opponent tonight, that mm-hmm. you're here because you respect Rob, you respect yep. this organization, you love this city. What a treat it must be for you to be able to come back and be a part of this tonight.
And especially when you consider a couple years ago, we were here for RJ night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very special also. I can't think of two people I think more highly of than those two individuals. And RJ, my Lord, those stories would probably fill up 15 books.
Oh, wow. 15 for sure. But you have a special personal connection with Rob Ray.
Yeah.
Because the night that Razor scored his first NHL goal, you were busy doing something else.
Yes. That was the day I was married to Claudia. October 21, 1989. So to answer the question, no, I was not in Pittsburgh for the game.
Yeah.
But it was that era where I watched the goal later on my VCR.
Okay, yes.
Where was the wedding?
The wedding was at Rich's Renaissance, the R&D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
The
on
atrium
Niagara.
There on Niagara, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good spot. Okay. You know, we heard Lindy Ruff talk about Rob Ray.
Yeah.
And we talk about Razor's goal. By the way, tonight, the 50-50 is going to be a guaranteed jackpot of $32,000 for Razor, right?
Told him he should have worn 99.
Well, maybe. But you know what else? I can't believe I didn't look it up until today, really. But Razor finished with 3,207 penalty minutes in the regular season.
Yes.
3,200 penalty minutes for the number 32. It's pretty fitting. Which penalty from Rob Ray do you like most? The slashing in 2001 or the fighting in 97? Or you've seen a lot of those.
I have seen an awful lot of them. And I really think that of all of Razor's penalties, the one that was most painful was the night when he fought Tony Twist in St. Louis and broke his orbital bone in that one. But that's where they always tell you, immediately apply ice. Well, he was face down on the ice, so that was taken care of almost instantaneously.
I wish he could hear this right now, just the way you're taking a shot at him.
No, I'm not taking a shot. Tony Twist took the shot at him.
Yeah, but he did that to many other guys.
Yes,
he did.
We saw
the video of him knocking out Dennis Bonvy and then doing the out.
Yes.
Like a boxer thing. We showed a fight against Dennis Vial where those two went at it with Ottawa and Buffalo. And obviously Ty Domi, we've seen that before. You
Ty Domi one night in Kitchener in a preseason game. He went right after him in the bench that night. And then there was the night Seymour and Norty were inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame at the Odd that last season. The puck had not yet hit the ice, and lined up for the opening faceoff was Rob Ray on one side, and the other side was sort of a large fellow from Indiana who played forward for the Montreal Canadiens, who you might recall him being in a bit of a thing with Marty McSorley years later.
Oh, I'm blanking on who with the Montreal Canadiens.
Donald Brashear.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that was a tough.
I don't think, I think the puck
The thing with Marty McSorley is the slash in the back of the head, yes. Oh, boy, Donald Brashear was tough. And Razor never backed down from anybody.
No. And then I wanted to ask Brad May, there was a great story from my friends in Los Angeles about a night at a game here when, you know, Ted Nolan was coaching and the Sabres had all those guys that you looked up to from the bench.
They were the boxer's robe in the locker room. You knew which ones were the tough guys.
Yeah. Well, Brad May was accused of the LA Times of breaking one of the Kings forward's fists with his face.
Mayday's face is too strong, too hard.
Big head.
Overwhelmed the King's fist.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Bobby Bugner and Brad May and those guys. I think Bobby Bugner was a tough customer.
Yes.
But when he was behind Ray, May, there was even Barnaby. There was other guys there. Like, Bobby, I think, in his career was like 1-90 in fights. Like, he won one fight out of his career, but he was still a tough guy. But he had to fight tougher competition.
Do you remember the night at the Odd with Philadelphia and Garceau?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Matt was playing possum face down on the ice in the face-off circle.
Never.
Yeah, and Snow went over and jabbed at him. And Matthew sprung up, pulled off Snow's mask, and started pummeling his face.
Yeah. Somehow Garceau got involved in a few fights.
You had – were you calling the Nashville game just on the Western trip when they had three fights in
Unfortunately, no. I've cut back on my traveling.
Yeah.
So I'm only doing 8 road games now this year.
Yeah.
But, three fights – almost boom.
Yeah, because Marty and I were doing a Sabres game then, and we're looking at look what's going on in Santa Fe.
Every second, there was a second, a fight. After a goal, there was three in a row.
Yeah.
And then those two games, by the way. Oh, okay.
What? Crazy games. Nashville
crazy
won both.
Crazy games. Like,
how about down 5-1 in the second period and win 7-5?
I know. That was nuts.
Yeah.
But then the next game, letting San Jose come back in the game. So I'm asking you right here. I know we're talking about Razor, but is this the type of game, and unfortunately the Sabres have scored first many times, have allowed teams to come back in games and win. Whoever scores first tonight doesn't really matter, right?
No,
it doesn't. Those two teams are...
It absolutely does not. And I'm thinking, yeah, the Sabres have twice this season scored seven in a game.
Yeah.
Including the most recent. Mm-hmm. That was an incredible game to watch at home that night. Thank you guys for your work and for Marty patronizing the top dog stand upstairs here. I thought that was...
I may have to go get another one tonight
before
the
game.
Well, yes, because I got one last time. If I had gotten two, I would have definitely gotten two today. Although it was a long one, I split it in half. It felt like two hot dogs.
Yes.
So that was good.
I bet it did. I bet it did.
It was a razor, though. Well, he didn't pay for it. He said he put it on my bill, but still, he was the one that provided the hot dogs.
I find a mild irony in the big news from the NHL today. Salary cap.
Oh, my goodness.
So what is Rob known for? Entertaining, right?
Yes. Yes.
Bringing fans out of their seats.
Yes.
In today's world, we would call it generating revenue.
Yeah.
Yes. So on the day we talk about Rob going into the Sabres Hall of Fame, and there's all this hype and excitement and everything, it's like, oh, in a related story, the salary cap is going to rise the next 3 years.
Number 32 is a revenue stream.
He is a revenue stream. And you'll appreciate this. A few years back, probably half a dozen now with my memory, we were doing like a Tucks and Pucks night.
Yeah, yeah.
And Razor, everything wasn't fitting quite properly. And he ended up, he had this T-shirt that he wore under the Tux jacket, and it was league minimum. And
yep.
I was like, this is the best T-shirt, because Rob always tells the story about at the end of every summer, Darcy Regier and Larry Carrière would say, you know, there's really not much money left, like, because we've already done all our signings. So this is the offer.
This is what's
and
left.
Rob would just sign up and take it and take it and take it. And I just thought, he's so playful that this was a perfect representation of how he kind of lived his NHL career. He's proud that he stayed in it for quote unquote league minimum.
Yeah.
And he loves to, you know.
Well, for years, there was the story, too, that he had an incentive clause for seven goals in a season. And one night he thought that John Muckler was not fairly dispensing playing time because he didn't want him to hit it.
He didn't want to get to 7 goals. He did get to 41. He got
40,
but
you know what?
And one in Ottawa.
It's funny you say that, because I've got the all-time penalty minute leaders in front of me here. Tiger Williams first at almost 4,000. Dale Hunter, 3,500. Ty Domi, 3,500. Marty McSorley, 3,300. Probert, 3,300. Razor, 3,200. All the others on that list scored a lot more goals than Razor did.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we know of Dale Hunter as a Hall of Fame-type player based on, you know, the production, 300 goals, 1,000 points. But, like, Tiger scored 240, Domi scored 104, McSorley 108, granted he played with Gretzky, you know, and Bob Probert 163, which is part of why Probert became the legend that he was early on. It was like, oh, my gosh, how can you be the toughest guy in the league and score as much as he was doing, right?
Well, even a guy like Chris Simon, the 1 year, was trying to get to 40, right, with the Washington Capitals. But that goes back to what Lindy Ruff said when we first started the segment, is Rob knew when and why and how, and that's what kept him in the league that long, because he wasn't going to go out there and get you a goal. And if he did, that was fine. But what Rob did enhanced and made everybody else around him better.
Made him
and
braver.
He played that long.
Yeah. Made him much more effective players by what he did. Yes.
Well, how much would you... Okay, so you talked about the salary cap. So this year, the salary cap is 88.5. Next year, we'll go up to 95.5. In 2 years, 104. And in 3 years, this is going to be a lot, $113.5 million.
And so, this is plus or minus a little bit. These are
projections
right now. There is wiggle room, so we need to put that out there. But the fact that all parties involved are boldly putting this out here the way they are as of today gives you a real indication of just how accurate they believe these projections to be.
So I'm asking, what would be the price for a Rob Ray type of player now, when you said that he made league minimum for years? If you could have that guy, that impact, that protector, guardian, whatnot,
yes,
that'd be a couple million. Like, it would be at least a couple million.
Easily. Easily. Yes.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, he would go to arbitration, just have to stand up in front of the arbitrator and say, you see everybody out here? They all can play because of me.
Because of me, yes.
Yeah, so I think Razor did well, but I'm just saying, in today's game, you don't see that guy anymore. And if there's one that can do it, people would line up for a guy like him.
Pete Weber is with us here as we're rolling on Sabres Live here, getting set for Razor's induction into the Sabres Hall of Fame tonight. Because you are and always have been a historian of the game, and you've been in Nashville for so long, which, as it has turned out, it ends up being one of the great success stories in NHL expansion history. I don't think that can be debated at all. And we're sitting here talking about revenues and salary cap. Like, how do you view the National Hockey League? How healthy is it? What do you see in the NHL's future? Like, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on all
this. I think it's extremely healthy, and I think part of that we've seen when Craig Leopold established the franchise. He had to put the $80 million up for the expansion fee.
Not the $1 billion.
In 98. And then it was difficult. Things were closing down. Revenue streams were not going that well for the Preds. And he had to put the club up for sale. We know the Jim Balsillie story that came out of all of that, where it looked like I was going to be moving back here so I could commute to Hamilton. But then the local ownership people came in. And now, yesterday, they announced that they're going to pay whatever it takes to get a WNBA team.
That's right.
To play in our building. And that, I think, is as good an indicator of how well things are going there right now. And then they've also, they're offering to build a practice facility specifically for the WNBA team.
Now, I remember going to Nashville my first few years, and it was like, what are we doing? There's nothing to do here, right?
Yeah,
and now it's Nash Vegas, right? It's like the place to go. The building is buzzing. But it's still Nashville. It's still, it's not Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, New York, Chicago, Philly. Like, it's still Nashville. When the cap goes to 113 and a half in 3 years, are they a team that's going to spend 113 and a half, or do you think they're going to have their internal cap and they say, hey, we're going to stay at 105 or 106? Because it's still Nashville, Tennessee. It's not New York City.
Can't predict, but I do think that they are now in the realm where they are spending to the cap. Just ask Barry Trotz, who walked across here a while ago, and spending to the cap. And I think they probably will stick with that because the cap is related to revenues. So it's pretty well tied in. That is a little bit different than when the Predators started, and the Detroit Red Wings power play was making three times the overall Predators payroll.
I mean, we talked about the introduction of the cap in 05-06, and the ceiling was 39
million.
And the floor was 21.
And who's going to get to the floor?
That's a great question. Like, these are real questions moving
forward.
Some
guys made money that year because of that, because they're like, teams had to go to the floor. Now
We couldn't. We didn't put Steve Sullivan on long-term injured reserve because we had to get to the floor.
He also didn't take the Lamoriello approach with a bunch of the guys in New Jersey that got sent to Albany. McGillney, McGillness, all that. Anyway, Pete, enjoy tonight.
Thank you
for being here today and celebrating Rob Ray's induction.
Enjoy your time in Buffalo with, you know, the wife and everybody that's here.
Claudia's here, and she's ready to go. I'm going to take her out to a big-time lunch at Ted's.
Oh,
amazing.
That's great. Hot dogs. It always is about hot dogs.
Yes, it is.
Perfect. We're back after this. It's Razor's induction night. Stay with us on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, just enough time to introduce a new segment called Confessions from a Washed-Up Broadcaster. That would be me. And, I need to tell you how wrong I was. Detroit has won four in a row. I expected them to be, you know, trending downwards. The Islanders have won six in a row. Didn't see that coming. So
I can also
I'm handing over my broadcasting alumni card.
Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about Calgary and who they were maybe going to trade at the deadline? And I said, they got it. Kuzmenko. Somebody's going to want Kuzmenko.
You're
like,
right.
He's terrible. He's not going anywhere. He's having a tough year. The Flyers paid big price for Kuzmenko, in my opinion. Farabee and Frost?
The Flyers shed a whole bunch of payroll that they didn't want. It was a steal.
I love it from Calgary. I love it.
You think they're both going to hit?
I think I like both
players. I mean, the upside,
is there potential for Farabee and Frost? Yes. Have they been underwhelming? Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Chris Benko's been underwhelming, and they got Jacob Peltier second in the seventh.
Okay, 32 seconds left. What do you want to say about tonight?
Oh, 32 seconds. I want to thank Rob Ray for not cutting my suit when he told me he would do it in Pittsburgh. I gave up 3 goals too quickly for him to get to my suit, and I was pulled and ran to the locker room. I still remember that day like it was yesterday. My parents were watching in Hawaii on ESPN, and then they got to enjoy their vacation. So thank you, Razor, for threatening to cut my suit.
He gets inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame tonight, does Rob Ray, and we'll see you for coverage beginning at 6:00.